1988-89, Bukhari Sharif, Jalsa in Newcastle. I also had the honor of attending Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Was the guest speaker. So the speaker before him was Maulana Rizaul Haq Sahib. Zawal Haq Sahib expressed his apprehension in speaking before such a great luminary, such a great alim. Then it was the Mufsad Mahmoud's turn to talk. Like we have written Jalsas, one speaker gets off and the second speaker comes on. The old also there was this type of a tartib. Mawlana Madani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was accompanied by the Khalid Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. As Khalid Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali ended his talk, giving the incident of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu when he was traveling to Bayt al-Muqaddas. His slave, and where the slave had gone onto the mount, and the male mean had descended. This is the talk, and this is where he was, and he stopped there. And it was the turn of the Shaykh Islam Sadr Hikilali to give his slot, to fill his slot. So, as the Shaykh al-Islam Sahib Rahmatullah said, if the Amir al-Mu'mineen has jumped off, the slaves turn to talk. See this people, how are they? How magnificent their minds. Although Khalid Sahib Rahmatullah had seen him like his elder in every respect, but then he was the Muhtamim and the head of the Madrasa. So he kept that in mind. One Abdul Haq Sahib to give a talk, and he was accompanied by Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah. So Abdul Haq Sahib was talking about reciting the Quran Sharif loudly or making zikr loudly mustn't be in such a way that it disturbs anybody else. Someone is sleeping or someone is performing namaz and you are doing zikr or Quran Sharif loudly, then it disturbs the next person. It's a different situation where all are reading audibly, then one doesn't disturb the other. But if one is in namaz and the other one is reciting loudly, then it disturbs. So if all are reading together, like how you have it in a hifz class, it's all right. But if it's just one person that's reading aloud and all others are performing namaz, all others are resting, then it disturbs. So then you must be careful and recite softly. Now, when Abraham Sahib ended his talk, it was Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah's turn to start. So by now, the crowd must have been a bit tired, so someone was dozing off. So Mustafa says that, see, I don't want to disturb anybody. I'm going to talk really softly. So now the crowd is, those that were sleeping, they're wondering what's happening now. It's a quiet majlis, there's no sound. So now they got up. So Sabah says that somehow I had to infuse the life into them. That's the only way I could infuse life into them, but there's the moon. So these elders, alhamdulillah, in all what they did, there was something behind them. something for us to learn. So, because Mufti Sahib has time to speak. And Sahib says, myself, I feel very much appreciate that moment where I talk before my elder. Because the elder is around, so he will correct me. And if the elder is not around, he's going to correct me. So if he's there, and I have to speak in his presence, so if there was a mistake in what I quoted, or the style which I spoke, or the substance that I had delivered, some mistake somewhere, then I feel confident if the elder is there, he will correct it. So, this deen is like this. At no point must any person feel that I'm perfect. I do it all. But that Mawlana Gangohi Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, his initiation into Bayat, etc., was in this way, that he was going for some nikah or something. And I explained early on that in those days there was a lot of simplicity. So people are going on foot, or people are going by some mount or the other, and they're going to the nikah. So en route came Thanabon. At that time, that Hari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh used to be based in Thanabon. Thanabon, from some story, the masjid that Almod Hazrat Hari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh had occupied, was thereafter occupied by Hazrat Mawlana Hari Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. But before Hazrat Hari Sahib could come in, there was some other Shah Sahib that used to be there. This other Shah Sahib, there were some, perhaps some bidat, etc., that he was inclined towards. But the bidatis in those days were not mischief makers. They didn't make mischief. Number two, they used to be making zikr, and abundance of zikr, so that zikr would prevent them from any type of mischief. They were doing some wrong, but they would not make mischief. So now this Shah Sahib, he got to know that Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi wants to come to this masjid. The moment he got to know that Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi is coming to this masjid, he moved on elsewhere. Shah Vilayat, another place, maybe in the same town, but he went to settle there. But he left the place immediately. Days of simplicity. He was also Sahib of Bidat, but some piety. So he used to have a flock of sheep, and at night he would keep it into the courtyard of the masjid. But it was his karamat that animals won't urinate and won't defecate in the masjid perimeter. Won't defecate, won't urinate. Morning or tea or tadris, evening would leave it here for safety reasons. So, Azmal Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh had met Hadi Sahib only once. That was when they were studying in Delhi by Maulana Mamlook Ali Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. So, on that day, Maulana Mamlook Ali Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh announced, today the lessons will be suspended because Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh is around. So Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh didn't know who's Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh as yet. But he and Mawlana Qasim Sahib is very thick, very close. So he says, hey, so, achhe haji sahab aaye, hamare sabak hi chhoot gaya. The nice haji sahab, because of him now, we are missing our sabaks. So, he wasn't like us. If it was one of us, say, hey, this type of haji sahab come every day, it would be worth the while. So, they were so deep in the knowledge they acquired in, they didn't want any type of interruption. Well, Qasim Sahib told Lord Gangohi Sahib Rahim Pai, it's a new thing that I tell you. So, I won't say that again. Anyway, he knew now that he was a great person. So, now he's coming towards Tharabon. So, Lord Gangohi Sahib Rahim Pai thought, I'll meet Hazadi Sahib Rahmatullahi as well. But on that occasion, he also thought of meeting Sheikh Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullahi. Now, that Sheikh Muhammad Sahib, after Zamin Sahib, and Hazadi Sahib Rahmatullahi, three are Peer Bhais. Peer Bhai means all bear to the same Sheikh. So they call them Peer Bhai. Like how they say Haji Bhai. Haji Bhai means that we were in Hajj together. Peer Bhai, so now all these are forgotten. Peer Bhai, Haji Bhai, all these are forgotten nowadays. Right? So, he went and met up with Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi, and then Haji Sahib inquired also that you got any other work here. So yeah, I thought of meeting Sheikh Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah Ali to discuss one issue, one important masla. Then he explained the masla that he wished to explain. He says that just before that, Sheikh Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah Ali had taken out a small booklet. And the booklet was about Isa alayhi salam. And he's coming onto earth at the end of time, and some of his sifat, etc. He got it in the kitab. And then with that he's got there, that Isa alayhi salam will live for so many years, and then he'll pass away in Medina Munawwara, and he'll be buried alongside Hazrat Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then with that he added, and this is a qat'i thing, it's categorical, so if anybody doesn't accept this hadith, then he's kafir. So, Allah Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi thought to himself, one is to write a kitab in refutation. Now, if you write a kitab in refutation, then sometimes things go a little sour, see. See, the better maybe I go up to him and explain that this will not amount to disbelief. Although it's wrong not to accept this hadith here, but to say that on the basis of rejecting the hadith will become a kafir, so that's not right. And the reason is that this is khabar wahid, it's not a technical term. Right? When it is khabar mutawatir, and you reject it, then you become a kafir. So hadith comes in different categories, khabar mutawatir and khabar wahid. This is khabar ahad. So if someone rejects it, then he doesn't become a kafir. Yes, if he's mashur, etc., then you may say he's a fasiq, but you will not say that he's a kafir. So Ali Sahib, when he heard of this, Ali Sahib said, no, don't do that. Ye hamare bade hain. Don't think of going and discussing this with him. He is also amongst our elders. Padma Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi is cancelled the idea straight away. Although he was like the Imam of the Zamana in fiqh, in hadith, etc., he was the Imam. Everybody would refer to him. So he was at such a position. That's why many of the ulama of that time used to say, that even if the books of Hanafiyat, right, Imam Sahib's original writings, Zahir Riwayat, all were lost, right, then Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi was at such a level that he could bring that back. So his understanding and his coverage of a fiqh was so perfect that he could bring that back. But now, we understood, right, that Ali Sahib Rahmatullahi has a certain maqam, and that maqam has to be respected. Okay. Though Mawlana also has a great maqam in fiqh, but now the maqam that he's got, that is something very much unique. And because of this unique maqam, we need to respect it. Around that time, or just after that, Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi, then thought of staying over with Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi for a few days, 1-2 days. But now he just comes for the wedding and he's returning, so he didn't have any clothes, just one clothing that he had. Because they may have thought that he's going for the day, coming back for the evening. Now here, there's an urge to stay. So he stayed over. And now, as he's thinking to leave, Ali Sahib Rahmatullahi is asking to stay over more. Then the thoughts are running in his mind, I'll become a burden on Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi. You have to feed me, etc. So I rather move. So Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi would keep comforting me. And sometimes I would have the urge to stay on. Sometimes Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi would encourage me. So it happened both ways. Sometimes I would urge to stay. Sometimes I would urge to leave. And many a time Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi would encourage me to stay on. So we stayed like that with the same clothes. I stayed for 40 days there. And then at the end of the 40 days, Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi told me that, see, the gift that Allah Pak has given me, now I fast on 3 days. So it's your work now to take it on from here. From here to take it on and to work with this now, that's your work. Subsequent to this, Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi had written a kitab, Haft Masail, right, 7 Masail. So, Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi, in some issues, he may not known of what's happening in contemporary times. Sometimes you get a masala, and the ulama will write it off as a bidat because of contemporary situations. Right? How people are handling it, because of handling it in a certain way, so then that is counted as a bidat. Right? Like how you have Maulud Sharif, right? So originally it may have been done in the right way. For example, there was no specification of date. Right? Then there was no mixed crowding, there was no feeding, right? And there was no qiyam and all that, right? Nothing of that. It was just the praise of Rasulullah SAW that was recited, his biography, his history, etc. So that must have been the original Maulud. But with the passage of time, people began to make their own additions. Now, someone thought, alright, we got this Maulud Sharif, so let's bring some feed, this to some feeding. Then someone thought, alright, let's do some salam. The third person said, let's do some qiyam. And the fourth person said, what about the woman? Right. Fourth person said, alright, the Maulud is so important, but it is more important than namaz. Salam. And that happened now, so the actual theme was lost and was substituted with all these extras, with the feeding, with the salami, with the mixed crowd, and So the importance that is shown to this over the actual. So that the ulama had to come up and say, now it's a bid'at. According to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, if something in its essence in itself is mustahab, right? Something is mustahab. And there are some munkarat that have joined into it. So in essence it is mustahab. But there are some wrong practices that have come into it. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi says that the istihbab ends after. Now this will no longer remain mustahab. So in its essence it is mustahab, but some wrongs have come into it. So the Ahnaf will say, then it no more remains a mustahab. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi has a different opinion. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi says that we will retain the act and we try and weed out the wrongs. It will retain. So in itself it's mustahab and wrongs have entered it. So we will not say now that the istihbab has been discontinued. We will continue that the mustahab and we try and weed out the wrong. See. So perhaps Imam Hadith Sahib Rahmatullahi preferred the opinion of Imam Shafi Rahmatullahi and Imam Gangui Sahib Rahmatullahi was strong about Hanafi viewpoint. Right? So now in this kitab now this type of masaila being discussed, see. And when Gangui Sahib Rahmatullahi saw the kitab, said, no, this just stop the circulation, leave it out completely. You can imagine it's such a sensitive situation, it is his sheikh there. And the relationship he's got with his sheikh is such, it's unimaginable. It's such a strong and a healthy relation he's got. But now, he said, this kitab, just stop it, no circulation, just leave it out completely. Hadith Sahib also had a lot of confidence in Hazrat Gangui Sahib Rahmatullahi, and he announced at some time that actually now the roles have been changed. I am supposed to be in their position and they are supposed to be in my position there. So Hadith Sahib Rahmatullahi also felt that they were so great in that time. So Hadith Sahib recognized him for his fit jurisprudence and masail, etc. He recognized him, he would refer to him. So now, Hazrat Gangui Sahib Rahmatullahi is saying that this book circulation must be ended straight. No way can be circulated. So, there's some things that are, the innovations that have started on, and perhaps Hadith Sahib Rahmatullahi isn't aware of what's going on. See? And Hazrat Gangui Sahib Rahmatullahi is more aware. So therefore, he said, no, this thing, now it no more is a sunnah, is no more mustahab. Now the mustahab has terminated in the sun. Now this mustahab is carrying on in India, and there's for and against. It's like we have a masla and we have ulama for and ulama against. Like how you have photography, for and you have against, right? So in that zaman also, same thing, that there were a lot of ulama for and a lot against it. So this topic is going on for some time, maybe a couple of good years. It's going on. And Hafiz Ahmad Sahib is Qari Tayyib Sahib's father. A very great alim. And imagine how great he must have been, because he is the Shah Sahib's Ustad. So how great he must have been. But he was known as Hafiz Ahmad Sahib. So he's also perplexed now, okay, what to do. In the meanwhile, in the state of worry and anxiety, he saw Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He saw Hadith Sahib Rahmatullahi. Ahmad Sahib saw Ali Sahib Rahmatullahi in the dream. Hadis hadisin Mekka mukarrama değil India. And what the more Gangosa is very strong on this, that we can't move away from this. Because in Mekka Mukarrama, there was a Maulud Dawat, and Hadi Sabah Rahmatullahi spoke to Mawag and Gwai Sabah Rahmatullahi, the Dawat, I'm going for it, do you want to join in? So Mawag and Gwai Sabah said, see, in India I stop the people, and I can't be attending, because if I do attend, then the word will go around that in India you stop us, but in Makkah Mukarrama, when you join your sheikh, your peer, then you're participating. So now I have to be careful. What I'm threading now, I have to be quite careful. So in the meanwhile, Hazrat Hafiz Ahmad Sahib is seeing this dream, and he's seeing Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi. So Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi is discussing this whole thing with Hafiz Ahmad Sahib, that he's now, at that time he was the principal and the muhtamim of the madrasa. So he says, why are you people so hard on this? Why are you so strong on this? There is some leeway, you know. So why are you people so hard on it? So Ahmad Sahib says, you don't find any leeway, no gunjaish at all. When he said there's no gunjaish, there's no leeway at all, Hadi Sahib said, alright, if we refer this to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu then, so Ahmad Sahib said, well, then there's no reason for us to ever have any reservation then. If Rasulullah Pak himself says something, then we have no reason to have any reservation. Now, just then Rasulullah Pak appears. It's a dream now, but Rasulullah Pak appears. When he appears, so the whole masla is presented before Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Pak is saying, what this youngster is saying is right. That means what Hafiz Ahmad Sahib is saying is right. So Hadi Sahib at that moment was in a standing posture. In a standing posture. So from a standing posture, he went on to like a ruku posture, or almost a sajda posture, and said, Sahi wa baja. And he said, Sahi wa baja. Sahi wa baja, 7 times. Now, this is in the alam al-ru'ya, right? In the alam al-ru'ya, the rules are different there, right? You can't say why he made sajda. That was alam al-ru'ya. Anyway, Hafiz Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullahi wrote out the whole dream and he sent it to her, Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi in Makkah Mukarrama. Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi was very impressed. He advised that she write it down and bury this with my body. When you're burying me, bury this with me. See the respect that he had for Allah's permission. Mawlana had the love he had. So, Mawlana had to take a stance. Why had to take a stance? Because he had to show parameters. So if you move from here, you have to stop here. You can't go beyond that. And if those parameters are not shown, right, someone now in a state of frenzy, in a state of ishq, he crosses the line there, and cause problems. So Mawlana's duty was to see that those limits are maintained. Like how someone got so much of ishq and so much of muhabbat that he's going on reading nafal namaz. You know, he's really, really driven now, he's spirited, you know, so spirited about reading namaz. But now you can see it's about 2 minutes left for zawal. Someone will have to go and stop you. But can you see the spirit? You cannot see that the spirit was wrong. The spirit that he was doing work with was right. But now you have to monitor it and administer it with parameters. And if those parameters are not going to be monitored, then there will be problems. So that was Azmal Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi, and he had to come in to correct this thing, bring this in. So, really, by the grace of Allah, I mentioned this why, that this is something unique to our silsila. The silsila Chishtiya that is followed by our Akabir, Akabir of Darul Deoband. So why it's unique? Why what's unique? See, our fiqh is very strongly flavored. Our tasawuf is very strongly flavored with fiqh. The fiqh is very strongly flavored. Right? So if someone is going off a little bit, they will put him back. They won't say now, that alright, now this person is an exception to the rule, or you can do it. They won't turn a blind eye. As Mohan Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi just left the world, and his daughter, I think she was Safiya, right? Adiyal Rahmatullahiya, very great saintly person. So, as Mohan Khalil Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullahi approached her, her father is no more, so you will get your share of the inheritance, right? And if you haven't got it, then you must ask your brother Hakim Masood that your share must be given, and then Hajj is faraz for you, then you should do the Hajj. She did the Hajj. I don't need to ask my brother because I got enough. So I got enough. Whenever he gives it, he gives it, all right. I don't have to ask him straight away. Then Masarpuri Sabrahmatullahi spoke to Hakim Mas'ud Sahib Rahmatullahi that you see, you've got so much of wealth. When you've got so much of wealth and you are healthy, then Hajj is faraz. And if you make ta'khir on Hajj, in spite of you being sahib al-istita'at, and you delay the whole process, then the Sharia will say that you are a fasiq. Who is it? It's Sheikh's son. So what's he telling him? That if you are sahib al-istita'at and you delay the whole Hajj, then the Sharia will have to say that you are a fasiq. So he was upset at that moment. He said, "Dekho, wali khayyam na mujhe kya kahe hai fasiq." But nonetheless, his idea was that, he says, I heard that there's going to be a train that's going to be started off. And there was a talk, Turkish rule, and the train's going to be started off. See? So the whole Hijaz will be covered by railway length. Because until that point, people were carried by camelback, see? From the port to Makkah Mukarrabah to Madinah Munawwara. I know my one foe, she passed away about 8-9 years ago, right? So, she passed away, she was about over 90. So the first Hajj she made that on camelback. I don't know what distance, whether from Jeddah to Makkah, but she explained the whole thing, how they... So up till then, they were traveling by camel. The train hasn't yet started off. So he said that now, this train is going to be starting off very soon. So once it is started off, then I'll go for Hajj. So the Mawl, Sahib Puri Sahib said, "Kya maut ka itminan hai? Are you sure that you'll live?" Anyway, he didn't like all that, but he went for Hajj. And on the return, then he said, Alhamdulillah, in our silsila, we have such great ulama ikram that we can't go off. And if we go a little bit off, it'll beat us back. In respect, it was the Sheikh's son, right? And normally they would show a lot of respect. Like they would show it to the Sheikh, they would show it to his son as well. But if he went slightly off, they brought him back onto the line. Now, this type of work, everybody can't do it. You need to have that level of understanding of fiqh to be able to correct it. Right? If you don't have that knowledge, then you will just make this, you will just pass fatwas of fasiq, kafir, mushrik, everything. But if your knowledge is so sound, knowledge is so sound, your parameters, your limits, etc., right, then you will know, alright, this person is moving off, and he's moved off so much. Right? And when he's moved off, then I need to correct it. And how to correct it, you see. So that person has got that type of a sound knowledge, he should correct it, he will correct it. Many times, the problems that we incur nowadays is because either the approach is not right, or the person who's talking, his ubur on fiqh is not so great. Someone's ubur and understanding is very great, right? And his approach is right, then you don't have problems. But if he doesn't have such a great understanding of the kitabs, right, and his approach is not right, then obviously you have problems afterwards. So this was something like a great blessing to this silsila. Alhamdulillah, our tasawuf is favored heavily with fiqh. So therefore, you see now, it's in fact more than a century, and this silsila is still running very strong. Because Hadith Sahib Rahmatullahi passed away around 1305 or something, right? 1305 or 6, he passed away. And now it's 1442, isn't it? So it's almost 140 years, right? Almost 140 years, but you still see it's going on. Now, do you see this anywhere else? The tasawuf is going on, but the tasawuf is being supported by fiqh. So people are moving on to bidat, urus, maulud, gharib sharif, sima, kawali, etc. They're not moving on. So there will be tasawuf, like when we went to Bayt al-Muqaddas, so they asked us, well, this is a Sufi of the time. The bichara dari ka tigara nahi tha. According to them now, he's a great Sufi, great Sheikh. But then, now, seeing the person, so they're doing something, and they're not guided by fiqh. So when they're not guided by fiqh, then some things they are missing out. But now, this one here is, you're doing the tasawuf, doing a suluk, but you're guided also by fiqh as well. So that helps you, to remain with it. See? Remain with it. In India, in the not so distant past, recent past, so there was a poet in Iran. He heard about an Indian poet, and the poet, he writes a lot of poetry in the honor of Rasulullah Basam. In honor of Rasulullah Basam, he writes a lot of poetry. So his poetry was so great now. So I must go and meet the person. It seems like his heart is burning with love. So this is a great person, I must go and meet him. So he undertook the journey from India, came into Iran, from Iran, came into India, found the residence of the poet. Now the poet was shaving his beard. So he corrected him, "Aka, shave me too. Sir, what are you doing? Aka, shave me too. What are you doing?" So he replied, Risham mitarasham, lakin dilekase nami tarasham. Yes, I'm shaving off my beard, but I'm not hurting anybody. See. So now, around one time in India, in fact, up to now, you get it, there's no one order of the soul, right? This order of the soul says that do anything as long as you don't hurt anyone. But the main thing is don't hurt anyone. Now, they have misconstrued it, right? Like, not hurting people is a great thing, right? But the deen doesn't stop at that point. If you think now, my deen stops at that point, I mustn't hurt anybody, then you won't see the need to be particular in namaz for not hurting anybody. You won't see a need to be punctual in his rozas for not hurting anybody. So now, the most important thing in this silsila became yusiku aziyatina punchawa, don't hurt anybody. So as long as I'm not hurting anybody, then I'm online. So when I say that this order of the silsila chishtiya, so the order that we follow is chishtiya sabiri chishtiya, sabiri chishtiya. And as interpreted by the Ahla Diyoga, right? Sabiri chishti, but as explained by the Ahla Diyoga. Because a lot of people say that we have this silsila and that silsila. So we have to say sabiri chishti as advised and directed by the Ahla Diyoga. And if you don't say that, then you will just now fly to a wrong direction. Wrong direction. So you have to see as explained and guided by the Ahla Diyoga. Some are even more particular in saying, as guided by Qasim Sahib, Mawana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, as Mawana Thani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, as they have shown, so we are in that order. And now, the need for that was, that if somebody is doing something off, then we can refer him to these people, their writings. See, in their writings they found this as bidat. In their writings they say this is wrong. So, if you are following this silsila, then why have you gone off the tangent? See? But you just leave it blanket license now, chishtiya, sabiriya, and you don't see that as guided by Azmar Gangohi Sahib, Azmar Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, then you have a lot of left a lot of room for free movement, for freelancing. There's a lot of movement left. Now you have to restrict that. How you have to restrict it? Well, one person came here about 3 years ago. So he said, he had a problem yesterday, man. That's what happened. So he says that his family is from that some other side, Green Turban, whatever. So then, so they had some zikr program, and I was not wanting to go, but they insisted on me that I must join the zikr program. And then, so he says they had the zikr all that, right till about an hour before Fajr. Fajr, nobody read. I got up Fajr, I did my Fajr namaz, then I went to sleep. But now you see how they misconstrue things. So now they feel now that the soul is what is a distinct thing, and it can also supersede the Shariat. It can encroach on the Shariat. So they misconstrue, they confuse themselves. So now, isn't this a blessing that we are guided by the fiqh? So as explained by Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi, Mawlana Qasim Sahib Rahmatullahi, so we don't move off. Don't go this way, don't go that way. Straight. Now, when they left that out, so they went free. When they went free, so now the main element in the tasawwuf is not to hurt. So then people misconstrued it. It is not to hurt. Then I'm not hurting, alright? I'm not doing namaz, but I'm not hurting anybody. I'm taking interest from the bank, but they're not hurting anybody. So there's a lot of room for freelancing. So anyway, what we're talking about the sport now is saying that, yes, I am shaving off my beard, but I'm not hurting any person's heart. Shaving my beard. So this Irani poet was quite an understanding person. Says, وَلَكِنْ دِلَ رَسُولِ الْبَقْ صَلَى اللَّهُ وَلَيْسَمْ مِتَ رَشِي. You may not be hurting anybody, but definitely you are hurting Rasul al-Baq. The hadith is reported that our deeds are presented before Rasul al-Baq twice in the week, I think, and to your parents once a week. To your parents once a week, and to Rasul al-Baq twice a week, your deeds are presented. Urida aliyya. أَعْمَالُ أُمَّتِي. Their actions are presented before Rasulullah s.a.w. And to your parents once a week, I think it's a Friday, that your actions are presented before your parents. Furthermore, Thani Sabrahma says that when your actions are presented before your parents, it doesn't mean only your father only. You mean your father, your nana, your dada, dadi, all that, all your usul. So they also get to know what you're doing. But when they get to know that you're doing something good, then their faces become radiant out of delight and happiness. My child, this is what he's doing. So it brightens their face. They become happy, they become excited. My son is doing this, right? If your son had just become a hafiz, right? How happy don't you become like a big jalsa, call everybody, feed, give him a present, spoil him, take him for umrah. You do a lot of things, don't you do? Right? So, the same when the child is doing something, so this action, urida aliyya a'malu ummati. Now the parents are getting to know that this is the good that you're doing. So, their face also brighten up. And if it's wrong that you are doing, then the faces also become gloomy. Right? So the hadith will obviously say, tell you then don't you cause the face of your parents to become gloomy. If you're doing these things here, and then it brings about the gloom, it brings about grief and pain to them. Right? So don't be a cause of their pain and their misery. Now, isn't this a great hadith to keep before us? Will be embarking on anything. I'm going to do this if my father is late now, right? And what's going to happen to him? I'm doing this and my mother is late now, right? What's going to happen to her? Does she deserve this, that she suffers with inner grief? What he has perceived, you know? She's suppressing the grief and pain. Does she deserve that now? Or not? How must I plan my life? Or what I'm embarking on, what I'm doing, that it doesn't hurt them. I was cause of happiness. The station of life, where it ends, you have to jump off, right? Where it comes, you have to jump off. But you jump off in a state that you don't leave any baggage and pain for anybody. You're moving, and right at the end, you are a source of delight and happiness. Not a cause of misery and pain. So today's topic was on this bid'at, right? Innovations, bid'at, etc. And normally we treat it very light, very small. So the right thing is, when there's some new development, then we don't use our own discretion. Rather, we find out. You can see now, it's not normal. Sometimes a student is doing something that's not normal. You can see now the whole system is going in a certain way, and he is doing something that is totally different. So I don't call him up and say, see, everybody's behaving in one way. Why are you behaving against the whole style? There's a whole rhythm here, but why are you doing this? You can't say there's a mistake now. Because everybody is doing something in one style, and you are breaking this whole system, you're breaking it. You can't say now that you made a mistake or you didn't know. If you didn't know, then you saw what they were doing. Right? When you saw what they were doing, you should just follow on, right? Because it can't be that so many people are doing one thing and the administration is just turning a blind eye. Do not say that the administration's silence is approval, but when administration is seeing something, so many people are doing it, and they remain silent. So sometimes that is because of pride. See, so I can see all the boys, perhaps in the madrasa, caught the trouser above the ankles. What's wrong? Let me put it down. See, what's wrong? What's the big thing now? It's not such a serious thing. See now, that pride has a bit over you. It's not a serious thing now. So what? Why are you making noise about it? So we're coming to the end of the term now. So why? Why are they making such a big noise about it? Sometimes it is pride. Sometimes it's a don't care attitude. Now this attitude really, that's the problem of this thing. Pride or don't care attitude. And as long as you don't have pride, or you are apprehensive, you don't have pride, or you're apprehensive, you're going on the line. But the moment the pride overtakes you, or this don't care attitude overtakes you, then you're lost. So now this person was shaving his beard, so he thanked the person for correcting him. He says, Jazakallah, ke chashmam baaz ni kar di, ba jaane jaana wasil ni kar di. He says, Jazakallah, that you opened my eyes, you showed me. You have linked me to my creator. I was in the dark, I didn't know about it. I was doing this because I was in the dark, I didn't know that this is forbidden. Right? Now I got to know that this is forbidden, so I'm appreciative. So this new, anything is innovative, anything is coming out. Yesterday, you're wearing this type of email coming out. So when people do of their own, what mistakes they make. Nobody to supervise them, nobody to correct them. And they feel we're above everything, and we can do our own thing. There's a general trend going on. So why must you break away from that? If you break away from that, then the problems come, then you can't endure them. See, the ulama, right, they set a certain standard, right? And they know why they do it. Sometimes it's fully explained, and sometimes it's not fully explained. But the safety is to go with what they are telling you, like a safe way. Because they know you're going to break away from this, then you won't be able to endure. See, around 1920, 1930, Tabligh Jamaat started, right? The other groups, I won't mention the name, that started around the same time. So Tabligh Jamaat had a certain modus operandi, certain style to work. Right? Right. So, and they understood why they're doing it. Mashwara, pleading for Allah Ta'ala, asking Allah's guidance, so they start in a certain way. With the grace of Allah Ta'ala, they covered the entire world, the work is still carrying on. With all the differences, whatever, but the work is still carrying on. Right? Fluctuations will be, some places sometimes it's higher, sometimes a little bit lower, but overall the work is carrying on. So there's other groups, not mentioning the name, they also started, but they started with a with force, you see, dynamism, dynamic, do this, fight, do this. Now, they come up and they flat completely, flat, totally flattened, can't move. If they walk, then it just concentrates in one spot. And that also they can't do as they want, they would like it to do. So the work doesn't go throughout the world, and it doesn't go like how they want. Why? This lack of mashwara, lack of understanding, lack of wanting that some senior, experienced person must guide you. So then you go high, this flat. There's no movement, there's no continuity. Here we're saying, you must come right, your children must come right, your wife must come right, your neighborhood, your family, everybody, you have to work on them. How are you going to do it? Take about 4 months, do this, do that, and slowly find that the whole family comes right. So the way it's planned out, that it works out for your family, it works out for your immediate and your extended family, your neighborhood, everything it works out for. Now they're doing it this time. So when we move away from this, then we're asking for problems. So yesterday I was seeing there's an email that came. And this was not the first time. I think a couple of good times before it came. Maybe the format may be a little bit different, but I just want to show you. So when you move away from this, then what can happen? What does happen? So this girl, she says that I am a scientist and my husband is still studying. Right? So I don't know what type of scientist she must have been. But anyway, so we are in love with each other for many good years. Then we thought of getting to a nikah. But now, you know how you get this Gujarati, Urdu, Mehman stories now. So we couldn't announce a nikah. We did it in secret. Alright, to that point, I was moving on. And then she explained how we did the nikah. So how we did the nikah is me and my husband, we sat on Musalla, and the Quran Sharif and the Tasbih near there, right? And we took an oath, now from now, we are in nikah, Allah Pak is our witness, and we won't betray each other, we won't cheat each other. So now we're living for 2 years like this now. Now, must we carry on, because now his family is complaining that they don't know about the nikah. But when they heard, when he explained them that he wants to get married to this girl here, so they will care more about it now. Now what do we do? Because I don't want to leave him, and he doesn't want to leave me now. What do we do? She's thinking that she did a very great thing, that the Quran said the tasbih there, they sat on a musalla, they took an oath, so now everything is halal for her. That's how she's thinking. But now, what I'm getting at is, there's a way that the nikah is performed, right? Anyway, there's a way, there's a procedure, you took permission, got a wakil, right? Consent, etc., the families. Right? Now, you do it in that way, right? Now, look at the good in it, right? In this madrasa, some, I would say about 10, 12 years ago, one Friday, now, Friday is off day, so towards the evening of getting a news, that one boy made a secret nikah in this masjid. Around a certain time was end of Jummah time, or after a certain before said made a nikah. I got the news, so I called the boy. There's a talk that you made nikah, say I made nikah. Where the masjid here? Right, approved by your parents, her parents. So he's silent. See, do that, it is in vogue. Everybody's doing it. And it's got the endorsement of ulama as well. Not only in vogue, but it's endorsement. See, you say in vogue, then our girls are going to school, university. That's in vogue. Isn't it in vogue? That's not an endorsement. Ulama are against it. What the ulama are supporting, then it's vogue. Do that. Don't do this thing here. So I can see, I'm giving you 24 hours to announce this. Because the hadith says, A'linu hadha nikah. The nikah must be announced. If you're not going to announce it, then I will announce it to your in-laws, to the madrasa, and the world. I will do it. I take it upon myself. I'm going to do it. So he comes to me the next morning. So me and my wife decided that you're not going to announce it. So I said, see, your wife can announce, your wife can rule you in your home. She can't rule me in the madrasa. At home she can rule, that's her parameter, she can rule you, all right, whatever she wants to do. But the madrasa, that's not her domain, she's not going to rule in the madrasa. I told 24 hours, I'm going to announce it in 24 hours. So I went and announced it. They now all were shivered, all the in-laws said, oh, hey, we will make a nikah on Junction Masjid. So they made a junction, small nikah there, finished that. Then I had to explain to the youngster why I did this. See? So when something is in vogue, then don't move on heavy. You'll get into bidat, you'll get into wrong, you'll get into problems. See, a nikah, all right? It's announced. When it's announced, right? See now, when it's announced, right? Now imagine, let's imagine a situation now. You are frequenting this house here. Right? So there can be several situations. Once you came, once off, people will turn a blind eye. But now, this Abisa, why is he coming to this house? And especially if you're living in a flat, why is he coming here so often? Oh, there's a girl there. So they're dating, looks like. See, you did it in secret. You didn't announce it. So the nikah was done. The meeting her was halal. But now, what message, what signal are you sending out? Are you sending the right signal? Or are you sending a wrong signal? Oh, that gossip and that propaganda goes, it has its the bit over you, the whole world. But now, you can't say don't have the wrong opinion, no? But Kumar is haram. You're causing that, you're creating the situation where people will have a wrong opinion about yourself. Now why are you visiting this house here? Sometimes it's just one single woman living there. Why are you coming here so often? Aren't you creating an atmosphere? So, the first thing that you're telling me, that you must refer to your elders. She to her elders, and he to his elders. And before that, they say, before the step before that, is he mustn't contact the girl straight. If he saw the girl or he likes the girl, he must speak to the elders of that girl, parents, uncle, mother, whoever, speak to them. Okay. Now the style here now, I just saw the girl, start talking all that, and now we think we like each other, I'm just going to marry her. It's not the style. See, this innovation. Now that innovative style, people think that that's the style. They feel that's the way. Whereas it's a haram style. You're talking with her, you have tea with her and all that, coffee and all that, and this and all that. Let's, all that is wrong. The premarital was wrong. See, but people miss out the sunnah and they go do their own thing. And yet they feel we did right because we didn't physically touch each other. Or we didn't, no, don't say physically, we didn't become intimate. We didn't become intimate. But is that the right way? If you, for some reason, you like the girl, alright, hopefully, then mention that to her parents. So the parents now, they feel, all right, that we need to do some homework. Is this the right thing? Because now the parents have got age with them, they've got experience with them. When they've got age with them, and they've got experience with them, then they can see, all right, that this is the right suitor or is the wrong suitor. They've got the time, right? Number two, they will feel that our children weren't acting treacherously. You know, they came open cards, they were transparent. They didn't do anything in secrecy. So the parents also would respect. So they got the chance to go and check the boy properly. They will hold the girl in respect. Otherwise, the respect for the girl is lost, especially if it's a girl coming from a home that's got strong Islamic ethos. If the home itself doesn't have ethos, you can't say that home is a home of nobility and respect. Because they allow all these things to happen, right? Boy and girl to meet without marriage, can you see that it's a home of nobility? The haram has become noble. You see, I saw some Quran sharif, noble Quran sharif. So, if the Quran knows about haram, can you call it noble? So if a home has got haram carrying on, then can you call it a home of nobility? So the right thing is, you're interested in the girl, speak to them. You can't speak to them, your elders must speak to their elders. And they say that they may disagree. If they disagree, then don't do anything behind their backs. Right. Because there will be a fight now. Then you look for someone else. If the elders are not happy here, then you look for someone else. Because we can't leave each other. You can't leave because there was a lot of premarital carrying on. You create a problem for yourself. Now you insist on this, there will be a fight. See that step before this. See all the innovations. And the irony is that we consider these things to be all permissible. I think in my life, only once I made a cigarette nikah. What happened was that they were engaged. Both were engaged. Right? So, girl side, boy side, everybody approved. Man came here now, after Fajr came to me. See, he's in a dilemma. What happened? So last night, the son-in-law to be, fiancé, he came to visit, right? He came to visit, right? That shouldn't be, make the nikah and then visit. But he came to visit. Then my wife asked him to stay over. And they both shared the room. See? So now, if I'm going to say anything, it's going to be a big, it'll be a World War III just now. She'll make a big noise. Her family is very influential. Very, very influential. They were factories and all that. Big factories they got. And very influential. And I'll just be suppressed. I can't say anything. Azzani fil khitab. Wa azzani fil khitab. So what the influence of, they'll smash me down. So I said, what do you want? I said, what should I do? I said, no, make a nikah. Because if you're not going to ask them to get into a nikah, they'll carry on like this, and you say, no, I can't help it. So under your roof, they do haram. So that's the only time that I allow this here, only once. So you see, Islam now, this modesty and shame, from which point they're starting. Even before, you're just interested. Don't carry one step now, you can speak. The third point, see, all haya, shame, right? And publicity. Nikah is done. Now, boy side will do the walima. So you will invite people from here, there, Berlam Sharif, Stanger, everywhere. Please come for the nikah. For the walima. Right. So is this an advertisement of the nikah or not? Have you publicized it? First you meet in the masjid. Before that they contacted the parents. Then masjid first publicity, advertisement. Then walima another third. Right? Isn't it? Everybody got something to know. So is there anything secret now? Will people have suspicions? Have you left the door to suspicions open? For all that you have smashed it out, no suspicion. But in this secret style, have you left the doors of suspicion open? Hey, Murana, that boy, is he married? I saw him with someone's girl, someone's daughter. They made nikah. See now how they talk. But you left the door to suspicion. You open the door to suspicion and people are talking. Then you say, no, they must do their own thing and I must do my own thing. But leave it out. You're not going to stop them. That suspicion will have the better of them. Then years later, oh, this was the person who was playing around with that girl. Now they married, now I see. That becomes a history. Oh, I see they were playing around. This was a child who was born coming to the office class now. See how they talk. An alim will hold himself, he won't talk about it. But the man that's on the ground, he'll be talking about this. Now, see, your selfishness brought an embarrassment to your respected child. He's becoming Hafiz, right? But didn't you become the cause of that child becoming? Oh, we know your father, man. Your father and mother, they're going around, you know, then they got married. They talk about these things. Yeah. See, that you want a family, a household of respect, a household with ethos, then do it the right way. But you know, do all these things here. The ethos are gone, the respect is gone. The child is going to take the brunt of all these things here. I know one person now, he's a professor, right? So he comes down with it. So he tells me, yeah, the girls were playing around. And then my mother became pregnant, and then they made me come. Very casual about it. So what he's saying is that they made zina, and I'm a product of zina. That's what he's saying. See, that's what he's saying. But now they don't realize that this is what they caused on themselves. See now the study procedure versus the innovated, what it brings about. There's a third level of shame, modesty, and integrity. The fourth level now of shame, modesty, and integrity is, now you got a child, right? So, it's going to be an aqiqah, and nowadays, a lot of mark where they have a show of the child, and then the woman now don't want to, they're too lazy to prepare for the guest. So they'll tell, alright, we'll all meet at Majras, and put the child at Majras, feed everybody 200, 300 guests. Yeah, say it anyway. Why can't you call them at home? Why can't you call them at home? But anyway, but now, see, now, isn't that respect? This is how the nikah took place. Then it took place in the masjid. Then there was a walima. Now it's an aqiqah. So the child is coming, is ushered into the world. Is ushered into the world with respect. With dignity, right? And pure. My parents didn't do anything before marriage. They didn't meet. My parents' elders, they discussed. And then they confirmed the nikah date. Nikah was done. I'm born like this. And if the child knows that he was born like this, a stigma against his name. Right? And then we have to tell that child, like this professor, I tell him, but you have an inheritance problem because you now not your father's child. See, if you were delivered or your mother fell pregnant and you are not in nikah, right? Then you will not be counted as your father's child. So it's not called. It's not. She will make it known that you're not your father's child. So you create another problem. What problems with the distribution of the state? See how many problems you create. Now, go with the Shariat, right? So this is the problem with the children. The problem with the parents is when they know that they can't resist, both boy and girl can't resist, get them married. They can't. You know, stop them, they're going to do it in the haram way. So now, is that the right thing? The stupidity on the youngsters is that we still need to know each other. We still need to know that how responsible we are. So you're responsible enough to play with them, to make them pregnant, is responsible enough, but you're not responsible to do it halally. See, when you do haram, then your brain also goes off. Right seems wrong, and the wrong seems to be right. So let's make tawbah today. When we hear these things here, and we didn't try to correct this. This is a jihad of the day. You ask me, I tell you, this woman thing here, it's a jihad, the greatest jihad, to bring them online. People are talking about other jihad, but this is, to me, this is the biggest jihad. with that haram they're doing premarital, they're considering it to be part of the Sharia. But to bring them back online, isn't that an effort? So that's what I say, because jihad.